Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I had my sabbatical 7 years ago, and I got to kick it off by going down to Atlanta, where I was going to meet Jimmy Carter. This is a pretty big deal, and I was excited about that visit. So we got to the airport the night before. We were going to go down to Atlanta as a family. And we boarded a JetBlue flight, and we pulled away from the gate. And then we were told we were not going anywhere because there was bad weather over Boston. And then there were also storms along the coast, and so the flight was delayed. And it continued to be delayed. And we were worried because at some point we knew that they would just call off the flight and take us down the following morning. Now, in the big scheme of things, that would not be a problem for most travelers, except most travelers weren't scheduled to meet with Jimmy Carter at 9 o'clock the next morning, and we would not have made it to Atlanta if we did not leave that night. Fortunately, the flight took off and we got to Atlanta late. But then we had to drive from our hotel out to the Carter Center. And it was really weird. Because if you've ever been to Atlanta, you know there's a big highway, that Interstate 85, that cuts through the city. Lots of traffic, and it was morning traffic, but it was moving pretty quickly. And then out of nowhere, one of those orange and white bollards came off of a truck, bounced in the road, into my car. We were okay. The thing bounced off my car and then further bounced off to the side, so nobody was injured. But that was a road hazard. And in the moment, I was just shocked. And I think Chip was shocked and Rachel was shocked, because these things don't happen except on TV. But guess what? They happen in real life. Now, I cannot tell you why we were so fortunate that nothing bad happened to us. We got to the Carter Center, and we saw Jimmy Carter, and we saw Rosalynn Carter, and we heard the presentation. And it was a great opportunity. We got to meet the president. So why am I telling you this story, other than the fact that it's an interesting memory? This is one of those cases in life where I can say, there but for the grace of God go I. And I generally don't like sayings like that, because we imply that somebody else should have to suffer. But in this case, I can only thank God's grace for bringing us through that moment. Which brings us back to first century Judea. So Jesus has been out and about teaching, and people are interested in what he has to say. And then this young ruler, this rich man, comes up to him and says, Jesus, what do I have to do? Not bad, right? Jesus tells him that he's got a tough road to travel. That it is harder for a rich person to go to heaven than it is for a camel to travel through the eye of the needle. Now, these stories in the gospel were written for a specific audience in a particular time. And Jesus wasn't just offering some weird metaphor about needles and animals. Jesus knew you could not get a camel through the eye of a physical needle. If you've ever sewn, you know how big needles are. And if you've ever been to the zoo or to the desert, you know how big camels are. And the two don't go together. But there is a gate in Jerusalem known as the Eye of the Needle. It may have been in Damascus, we're not sure, but we believe it's a gate in Jerusalem. And it was narrow. And a traveler coming in with a camel would have to disembark from his beast and take all of his possessions off of it to get the camel through that gate. Interesting story? Sure. But it's the moral that really matters here. Now, I am not going to tell you that if you've got money, if you are wealthy, that you cannot go to heaven. Jesus will not tell you that either. We know of good people in our community who do good things. But, there's always a but, isn't there? But, how attached are we to our things? How much do we like our smartphones? How much do we like our TVs? How much do we like our computers? How much do we like our shoes? How much do we like our books? The list goes on and on and on. And how do we value those things against the things that really matter? I'm not going to answer that for you, because that's a question we each need to answer for ourselves. But Jesus really seemed to love this young man. He looked at him with affection when he came forward. And Jesus wasn't giving him some impossible to do task. He was just telling him what he would have to do. Sell your stuff. Give it to the poor. In theory, that doesn't sound hard, does it? But I'm not going to tell you to all go home and put your stuff up for sale on eBay. I'm not going to tell this church to liquidate its assets and to sell this building and to write a check to some organization. But how much do we value our stuff? How much do we value the things we have? And how much do we let that affection for those possessions get in the way of making decisions that will help us lead a fuller life? So there are all sorts of hazards in our way. And sometimes they may be as out of the blue as that bollard on the highway. And sometimes the road's dug up. So last week, to add to our construction woes down here, some water mains broke. And the city of Lebanon sent out an alert, and then they came and they dug up the road and they fixed the pipes. Old stuff breaks. We have to plan around it. Now, I was not going to write this if you read my newsletter. I was not going to put this in print. But we speculated that the fire station construction project may have caused the problem. Not that the firefighters or the construction teams broke those pipes, but the jostling and the movement might well have contributed to it. Don't know. But clearly those pipes were in need of some attention. We all have road hazards to overcome in our lives. Each and every one of us. And sometimes it's hard to do that. Sometimes it's easy. So this afternoon we have the opportunity to go help fight hunger and participate in the crop walk. Now I'll admit it's not the most beautiful day today. I don't want to walk in the mist, in the rain. But I also don't want to be hungry. And I don't want my neighbors to be hungry. Think about that. We have an opportunity to do something. Jesus has called us to do something. And if you walk today, what do you miss? The Patriots getting pasted again? But think about the things we really like to hold on to. About the things we really think make sense. So you've all heard this before. When you die, you can't take it with you. I remember seeing a cartoon of Pearly Gates and somebody had pulling up to it with a car and a trailer. And St. Peter told them, you can't bring the stuff in. You can't bring that stuff in. I used to do planned giving work. I talked with older people about their estates. And it was fascinating what kinds of problems people had when they were thinking about what to do with their wealth. And inevitably, it wasn't the money that caused the problems. It was deciding who got the baseball card, who got grandma's brooch, who got the things that were laden with symbolic meaning. And I did what I thought was right at that time. I encouraged people to talk with their families about this stuff. Because guess what? Denying death is not going to make it go away. It is much better for us to embrace these problems, not to say, oh, I'm ready to rush off to die. But if you know it's going to happen, why not plan? And if you're looking for a gift to give to your children or your survivors, hash these things out now. Because if you leave them for them to deal with after you die, they will be fighting. I've seen it over and over again. So let's go back to that young man. His problem wasn't so much that he was attached to all the things he had, and he couldn't think of ways to get rid of them. His problem was that he thought he could save himself. And he talks to Jesus about all the commandments he's observed. That's not going to get him into heaven. We cannot do anything to save ourselves. We are all dependent on God's grace. So we see in this passage that Jesus, again, had some warm feelings for this young man. But the young man has to let go of the idea that somehow he can take care of everything by himself. And we see what his reaction was. He was shocked. And he went away grieving. He was shocked and he went away grieving. Well, now you've heard the story, so you don't need to be shocked. And my hope is that since you're here in church, you get that God loves you. That you are the beneficiary of God's grace. And so you will not leave grieving. Maybe you will because you think my sermon stunk today, but not because of what's in the gospel. So yes, we preach this over and over again. But is the world in such great shape that we don't need to hear about God's good news? If your life is so good that you don't need to hear that God loves you, I want to talk with you after worship because I want to know your secret. And then maybe we can write a book and publish it and make lots of money. And then we'll find ourselves in the same predicament as a young man. So who here has ever bought a lottery ticket? Thank you for the honesty. I have too. I haven't won. I love to play the little game about all the things I'm going to do if I win the lottery. But I always remember when I don't win that it's not just a function of the odds, but that maybe God is doing me a favor. I don't need that kind of temptation. My suspicion is neither do you. But if you do win the lottery, I will come talk to you about things you can support here at the church. But we're really called to focus on what Jesus is telling the young man here. We remember the call from the Reformation, from Luther, it is only by grace that we are saved. We can't do anything. Now, that doesn't mean we should go out and sin and have all sorts of fun doing bad things. But, we should respond to God's grace with thanks. And the best way to show God your gratitude, and for me to show my gratitude, is to follow the way of Jesus. It's that simple. So, let's put our possessions back on the camel, and let's ride through the gate and head forward into the future that God has made for us. Let's join together in prayer. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all the many blessings in our lives. We thank you also for the strength to deal with the temptations and the hazards that we encounter as we go forward. Be with us always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.